Hey there, Face Off fans. We're back with Season 12, Divide and Conquer. We got a whole new pack of artists, and we are talking about the pack leaders with Episode 1, Pack Leaders. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey there, Face Off fans.
Okay.
It's like you gotta do the shoulders.
So funny. The half a shoulders.
What up, everybody? Welcome to the Face Off After Show. We are super excited to be here for Face Off Season 12, brand new twist, Divide and Conquer. And we're really excited too because we have a new panel.
Whoa.
Hello. Ladies, would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. Hi, guys. I'm Joelle Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joelle Monique every week at blackgirlnerds.com and every Wednesday at Schmoesno.
I'm sorry. I got taken aback by Black Girl Nerds. I must go see that. I'm Jackie Ray. You can find me everywhere on social media at jraythefanatic or jraythefanatic.com.
Awesome. So, right off the bat, initial thoughts. What are you guys feeling this season?
I love the divide and conquer theory because, you know, it's one of those things like when you were in college and you had to do groups and it always pissed you off because you were like, so-and-so doesn't do the work. So I'm really digging. I'm in love with this concept. I'm
the
in love
group
with
project
concept.
Dynamic.
Yeah. I feel like because reality is hindsight and you can be like, why would you do this? You know that's not going to end up well. This whole episode, I was just like, oh my God, don't do that. Bad decisions. But then I got really excited because at the end, they were able to pull a lot of tricks out of their hats.
Right.
So I was like, wow, okay, some of these are impressive.
I was right off the bat like, cake maker?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's funny because we've actually had Dina won for a few seasons back, and she was a cake maker.
Absolutely.
And took the whole thing. So.
I can kind of see it. I have a friend, you shout out to my girl, I'm not going to shout her out because she said don't, but she's a cake maker, and she just made a cake for a wedding that was the most bizarre. They had a very dark gothy theme with like a, I don't know the guy's, he has the big round head with the lines in his face, the sleeping cartoon. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Sleeping cartoon.
I forget. Anyway, so, but it was massive. It was 5 feet tall.
Jeez.
And I was like, you should probably go into like special effects makeup if you could pull it off. And she's like, frosting and makeup are two different things.
It's true, but we've seen a lot of people come from a lot of different art like backgrounds and be successful on the show. So it's kind of exciting to see that it was mixed bag. I was also excited that it's a completely new cast this season. Like there's no like we've had a lot of like repeat seasons or like champions, which is always super fun. But entire new cast of people means everybody has to pick sides now.
Yeah, and it's interesting too because this is the first time that we've had a situation where we've really had these team dynamics in one that's more of a real life setting where they want it to be more of a shop environment, which is kind of cool because we've seen in past seasons where, you know, finales we've had where they've made actual short films where we've gotten to see last season some CGI work. We've gotten to see really cool things that have been added, but it's normally safe for the finale.
Right.
So this is kind of cool to see that this is how we're jump starting this season. That's kind of bodes well. I'm thinking this is going to be a really good. So
it's very
I'm
cool.
excited.
Yeah. Yep.
Now, I really like the idea, too, that they're kicking it off with kind of a classic theme going with werewolves.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But I did think it's kind of funny, too, that Nick worked on Teen Wolf.
I thought they were going to knock it out of the park because of that.
Yeah.
It was kind of taken back. Yeah.
But they ended up having this really, ironically, ethereal, since that ends up being one of the names of the team.
Right.
But this really ethereal scape of walking through and kind of creepy too of walking through the woods with their lantern to go and find Mackenzie who's waiting to give them their task.
Right.
Mackenzie's introductions are always like my favorite kickoff to the episode.
Mm-hmm. She's like, I feel like reality hosts sometimes are a little heavy-handed for me where I'm like, we get it, you're here. Mackenzie's like the perfect amount of like intrigue, mystery, and I'm out. And you're just like, what is happening?
Yeah, and she just always looks phenomenal.
She's gorgeous.
Her black dress tonight at the awards. Oh my God, so beautiful.
And I love her stern face when she's like, go pack up your kit. And it's like, she's, it's like stern but loving and bye though.
She makes it clear. You would not be confused if you broke up with Mackenzie.
Oh no.
She would make it real. She would be delicate, but she would make it real clear what was happening.
No closure needed. It's over.
Man, I just love that woman. I think she's incredible. So it's kind of cool for these guys to get introduced to Face Off in probably the most immersive way possible, is we're going to send you by yourselves with just the camera crew going down into the woods. And then Mackenzie's like, all right, hang up your lanterns.
Yeah.
By the way, where you hung your lanterns, that's your team. You just got hired to this shop.
Because I would kind of want like a challenge that kind of picks the teams. You know what I mean? Like maybe a hierarchy. That I would feel, again, I'm still stuck in the college days where I got stuck with the worst groups ever. So I would want like, okay, we've got similar talents. I also thought that that might have been better for Laura, right? She was the cake maker.
Yeah.
Her name, Laura. Because no one gave her any guidance. She was very upfront with the fact that, you know, I've never done a chess piece. So if she'd have been on someone like who had similar, like, girl, me either. Have you made a chess piece? Like,
I
you
like
know.
The chaos of it, because I feel like what we're going to see is, like, some amateurs get real, like, better really fast.
Right.
Because they have that guidance. But we'll also see, you know, like, the emotional day. I feel like if it was too organized, the teams would work really well. I kind of want both of the mess. Like,
really?
I feel like that's what the season is about. Face Off is usually not like, it's non-confrontational.
Right, absolutely.
Usually. Which is, it's lovely. And
that's
it's
what
beautiful.
I love about it.
Thank you.
Yeah. But now we're going to be in groups and we're going to get confrontation. That bell's going to ring. And it's going to be exciting. It's still going to be creative based. It's still going to be our center. But I think we're having a lot more emotional confrontation. And I feel like that's part of like working in the art industry. Like you're going to deal with those big personalities. So if you can hack it, great. If not, you know. Sorry.
Maybe some passive aggressiveness.
Well, it's kind of cool because it does give these artists kind of real life experience,
absolutely.
Which some of them have, but some of them don't. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of neat to see this getting this as the show progresses every season, adding in all of these different elements, all these Mackenzie twists that they throw in that we
it's
love so much.
It's interesting because it is every man for themselves, but you still have to do really good as a team.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to get kicked off, you know.
And each team did a pretty good job. So the Twisted Six effects were one of the team names that were decided with Jill, Phil, Casey, Nick, Laura, and Al. And then Ethereal Effects ended up actually being the victorious team this week. Joseph, Fianna, Kirsten, Suzanne, Andrew, and Nelson. We actually, I think we have our photos as well pulled up.
Dun-da-da.
Momentum.
We got some pictures for you guys too, so we'll be bringing those up throughout the episode as well, so we can kind of talk a little bit about these a little bit more detailed. Now they ended up bringing in real wolves.
I thought that was awesome,
really
too.
Cool thing,
especially in that setting.
Yes,
like campfire-y. I thought that was fantastic.
And they looked really good.
Right.
I was kind of upset that they picked polar opposites, though. I mean, it makes sense because it's a good way to distinguish your teams early on, you know? But that gray wolf looked so dope in the middle. I was like, come on, you guys. Think about all the cool mixing of furs you could do.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of cool color stuff happening here.
I was disappointed that the female, the beta, didn't look more feminine because those wolves were so beautiful that I thought you had more of an opportunity to really kind of play up the femininity, the beauty of the animal. And I thought that was missed on both teams. I didn't think that either one of them got it.
I mean, I was kind of surprised that because that is such a classic animal that they didn't go kind of more, because all of them seemed a little bit more either, I'm not going to say masky, but they seemed almost more placed and
stylized as opposed to leaning toward realism, which I'm surprised no one went toward realism. I was like, okay, interesting choices here. But it worked out since everyone did the same thing. You can be kind of played against each other. I would like to have seen, I like what they were trying to do by going with like the more androgynous female characters, because we don't see that a lot. And if you pull it off really well, like, man, that would be really, like, I've never seen an androgynous female werewolf before, right? That's really cool. But I agree with you that the judges are constantly
asking.
But
you don't bite off more than you can chew.
Yeah, exactly. And we know the judges love beautiful makeups.
Yeah.
Like, they talk about it all the time. They gush. you know your audience. You could have given some cool eyelashes and
something. You could have literally went with the less is more on the beta one, especially. You know, especially when he was like, "Oh, we've got to make her nails fierce." So I thought, okay, so we've got the fierce concept down.
Well, it was interesting to me too because you can kind of see when you look at the makeups too. Andrew, who was a founder of Immortal Masks.
Yeah.
He is masking. Super far advanced too, though. I mean, like that one of the goals of being on Face Off is to end up working on a shop and working somewhere. And I think, you know, several Face Off artists have ended up working at Immortal. So it's kind of interesting to see somebody of that caliber who's coming in right out the gate, you know, kind of stepping up the game.
You kind of wonder if that's shop talk of like, but you never won Face Off, did you? All right. Yeah, okay, but let me go show you guys.
I can do it.
But yeah, it does, you know, it reads almost, it does
it's come, masky.
Yeah, just a and little bit, but I don't know. And it makes sense to lean towards what you're comfortable with.
Sure, absolutely.
But, yeah, I don't know if you guys noticed though when they did the first looks on this one specifically with the female, like she was black around the eyes, but then when they got to the end, when they had to stand up there in duos, she had sweated off all the black makeup around her eyes.
Yeah, I did notice that.
It was like, this is not the best look.
Yeah, that is kind of one of the problems, you know, when you're doing a show like this, is that, you know, you are going to have issues where you can't really go in for touch-ups.
Right.
Like you would be able to on a real set. Right. So, you know, I didn't actually notice that, but
I thought this one looked really great, though.
Yeah,
this
they did.
This was my favorite.
They did a really, really good job with this. I really thought that their story was a great concept of having these lumberjack town people who have been infected and then become their werewolves based off of, you know, their actual character. So they gave real, like, one is a barmaid, so she has...
She's supposed to keep the Omega drunk.
Yeah. That was her job. And then and seeing the models really play up the drunk Omega.
It was clear they understood their characters much better than the other team's actors. Because they were like full, they were way into it. Whereas these guys were like, I'm here, I guess.
They were given the stories. And I think that that's kind of a really big thing with Face Off is that your story we've seen can kind of sometimes save your makeup and save your look and really enhance or detract depending on what you say when you're on the stage, which is also difficult because now not only do you have to be a talented artist, you also have to be kind of a smooth talker as well. So
sell it. You have to sell it.
Yeah, which is intimidating on day one.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not technically day one, like day four, but still, like challenge one of Face Off. So I thought that these guys did a really, really amazing job. They absolutely knocked it out of the park. The judges definitely agreed. They were talking about how Suzanne was making the face when Suzanne and Kirsten were brought up, and she did out, you know, the base paint, Kirsten doing the cowl and the ears, adding all of the hair and everything, even though they said that it wasn't quite technically there, it wasn't fully there for them because the head was a little bit too big for the body.
Right.
Like V was saying, I still feel like overall, conceptually, they did a really, really amazing job.
Yeah, I agree.
So, and then Neville did say that he thought that the snout was a little mask-like. That was...
Yeah, because it didn't fit the face right. Yeah.
Yeah, which I think that's going to be something that as the season progresses, the artists are going to become more and more comfortable, I'm hoping, with what they're doing.
They always get better. Yeah. Like, this first challenge is always kind of like... I don't want to call it a throwaway, but it's like it's a warm up. It's like, let's get in a good headspace. Let's get used to working at this pace. Let's get used to each other. They're definitely going to improve from here.
I thought they did work really well as a team, though, too, because when the mold didn't come out quite right, nobody panicked. It was like, okay, let's all pick this up together. Yeah. Let's
experienced
get it out.
Experienced foreman at the head
exactly.
of the team.
Exactly.
They all had cool heads. He had like very specific directions when he went to visit each station. I would have felt very, like, comfortable working with him as well.
They had picked a really good foreman, and it's going to be interesting, too, since every challenge they pick a different foreman or forewoman to see, you know, this one, yes, they did a great job because Andrew is an awesome point person. He really, really led the group well, but
I think they'll probably still
follow. Did
you
put your strongest person in the very first round? Yeah. Does that mean that that's going to kind of hurt you later?
But I think they'll still lean on him because they clearly see, you know, he's got a shot. Yeah. You know, we're working in a shot.
Yeah, so he's used to that. Runs a team of, what, 20 people?
But you know what? Everyone's going to want their chance to, like, run the team how they think it's going to be run. And if they're relying on him, like, if the team is dividing and, like, but he's a better foreman, that could get messy, too.
Yeah. I think you're hoping for messy.
I can't deny that I like messiness. It's fine.
I feel like there's always, though, that one moment where the mold cracks, and that's always, like, the big, like, dun-dun-dun moment. And so we got that episode one, so I was like, all right. I want to make, like, a face-off drinking game where we just have, the mold cracks. Yeah.
Oh, I'm in. Cracks.
There's a twist.
When your spray paint brush gets clogged.
Right.
I don't know. The wig is not right. When the costume comes back and it looks nothing like the drawing.
Mm-hmm.
Or like drinking moments.
Like Twisted Six had the problem where your model is bigger than what you thought.
Yeah. And, yeah. Now we'll go ahead and move into Twisted Six. Why not? We'll go ahead and start talking about them. Now, just before we wrap up with ethereal effects. Good job, everybody. Yeah, I think everybody, you guys really worked cohesively. And
love the name too.
Did an awesome job. Mm-hmm. So. Nice work, guys. Now, Twisted Six Effects with Jill, Phil, Casey, Nick, Laura, and Al. They went with Al as their foreman. And Al's the oldest of the bunch at 56. And we've seen kind of in the past that sometimes the older artists, I think, kind of push to the sidelines and don't really get that much screen time. And that's kind of been personal sore spot with me.
It should be.
I was really excited that this episode that he was picked as foreman and he got a lot of screen time. We got to see a lot from Al. So I'm kind of excited to see what he's got up his sleeve.
I like Al. He's ambitious. He's like been working in the industry for a long time, but he makes the point at the top of the show to say, like, but I don't have my own shop, even though I'm, like, twice everybody's age. I like his, like, gung-ho-ness to be like, yeah, I'm going to lead this team. This is going to be my shop. I'm going to prove to the world, like, live that I can do this.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of rooting for him already.
I'm rooting for him, too. Just because, like you said, you know, especially in the entertainment industry, once you hit a certain age, it's like, you know. So I just want to see him win just so he can be like, yeah, about that.
Yeah.
It's a little messy.
I at least want to see him be a finalist. At this point, I don't know who I want to win. But
yeah,
I was sad that, unfortunately, Laura was sent
I
did. Home
I kind of thought.
So bummed.
Were you?
I really was.
I'm sorry. Before we left Ethereal Effects so quickly, we forgot to congratulate Joseph
on
his win. Congratulations, Joseph. Very well earned.
Yeah, those really deep phenomenal eyes were creepy.
Yeah.
We're talking about how great the profile looked because of all the hair that he was able to lay, like freaking and Emily level laying of that hair. That was awesome.
Well placed. Yeah.
Very, very good job, man. Now, Laura, unfortunately, was a little bit out of her element because this was something that she's never done before.
Which is why I thought Al might have been up for elimination.
I really thought that Al was going to be going home. I thought, and this kind of lets us know a little bit what to expect this season, that even if the foreman is elected, they may not necessarily be the person held responsible.
I think first time around, you can't let the foreman go, though, because that terrifies everyone to be the leader, I think. So I don't know if Al definitely could have, you know, like, been there or made sure someone had her back. Like, if it's your first time, you should definitely have a little bit of oversight.
Well, technically, it was the front that was the problem.
Yeah. And that's, like, right? You don't see that. You don't go, oh, you know, hey, are you struggling? Because this doesn't look good, and like, help her out. I just thought that's why I thought he would be on the chopping block, but I also agree with your point. You can't set that tone because then everybody's going to be like, well, I don't want to make a decision. You know what I mean? So they couldn't really set that tone, but I thought he could have easily been, you know.
Did you guys feel that the ribs were worse than the face? Because I didn't.
I thought that the face. My problem was. The issue that they had, and I understand that it was that the chest piece was made too small for the model. And yes, that is a problem. But if you were a cake maker and you have designed a pretty damn cool looking chest piece, then I feel like, you know, some wonky ears. I think that might be our photo number 9 if we want to pull that one up and take a little look at it.
Hair on it.
Look at that. Like,
that looks like a scary clown.
To me, it doesn't read werewolf at all because it doesn't have any hair on it. And I get what Glenn was saying, that we could have just added hair all over for all of them. This one's
great. I thought this was amazing.
But Glenn was saying, we'll kind of go back and talk about one at a time here instead of...
Yep, there we go.
So this one, I do feel like the issue was that it wasn't cohesive with the rest of the group.
Yes.
And Glenn was saying that we could go back and add all of the hair to it and really cover it and cover some of that chest piece and then just have pieces of it hanging out, which if they had had more time, I think they ultimately would have done. But
even if you fix the chest, the face still looks either pig-like or clown-like. I don't know if
that would have saved Laura.
I think that's why Laura got sent home. It was like, your problem was an easy solution.
Yeah.
Right.
And that should have been that should have just been what was done. Also, their whole point was like, I loved the idea when they first pitched it, and they're like, he's going to be like super tall but emaciated. And I was like, that's great. But like, no one thought to get the chest measurements to be like, well, how big is this guy? I feel like they looked at the height and they were like, perfect, got it.
Yeah.
So that was an unfortunate oversight. And I think if that could have translated, that would have been cool. I also wish they had like done mange. Like, they're like, oh, he's mangy. No hair is not mangy. That's like close to death. Like, mangy is like patchy, gross kind of fur, like thin stuff.
He looks
stuff.
More like Sloth from the Goonies than
he
from...
He looks like a naked pig.
Oh, he does. Yeah.
It's not.
It's exactly what it looked like. You know,
yeah, which is just like, if it had some more hair on it, I think would have read a lot more werewolf.
Yeah.
And I'm just really surprised that, you know, Nick, who worked on Teen Wolf, didn't come in and say, hey guys, add hair to everything.
Mm-hmm.
Make it look more wolf-like. That's why I thought, like this, I thought would be like his challenge.
Yeah.
But if he had gone home on a wolf challenge on the very first one, I would have been very, very upset.
Move. He'd move to it. He couldn't go home.
I like Nick a lot too. I think he's really
he's so
fun.
Happy.
Yeah, he's so like, cool.
He's eager to do the great things. Yeah. And yeah, I don't know what happened here. But you know what? Everybody has like off days and stuff. And so I'm excited to see what they do next.
That's true. Well, and two from a season that was an all-star season.
Absolutely. Yes.
So coming from an all-star season where we've every single episode, that every single challenge was knocked
amazing.
Out of the park.
Yeah.
I feel like the judges almost kind of have a little bit. Like their mindset.
Spoiled.
Yeah, exactly. They've got that mindset of like, we're used to seeing certain caliber, and it's almost like, okay, maybe Laura was cheated a little bit, because if it had been a season where it was a whole bunch of newbies and we saw their progression and then another set of newbies and we see their progression, that might have helped her. But ultimately, I don't know who else would have gone home.
Aside from Al, like I said.
Yeah, aside from Al, which would have made me so sad.
Right, but the rules were stated at the beginning that you can be judged based on what your team does or does not do. So, you know, it would have made me sad too, but...
Yeah, and I mean, Neville flat out said he just was like, I don't understand what it is. And that's not...
That's never a good,
that's
what you
not a good
hear.
Thing if you don't know if it's like, you know, a werewolf or a pigman or
so
whatever.
So Neville tends to be the most gentle of the judges as far as in his critique. And I feel like that's just so harsh. But like, I just... What is it?
What's happening here?
Oh, God, my heart.
I did think that their beta, the female, was more feminine than the other... but I still, it still doesn't translate right for me.
I liked the beta, the female. The only thing is, it does come across a little too rat-like.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit too rodent-esque instead of werewolf, which...
I find it interesting that they all went, like, slasher horror kind of werewolf, too.
Right.
As opposed to, like, there's a lot of, like, different kinds of styles you could have gone with that
These
been
are supposed to be albino soldiers, too, and that didn't really come across to me at all. I didn't see mercenary when I looked at these. I just saw...
Why are her boobs out?
Well, yeah, that bothered
like
me, too.
I get anatomy-wise, but I feel like there's a lot of costuming decisions you could have made. Not to say, like, cover up, but there's just no logical reasoning behind why they should just be out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I totally agree with that.
I would have liked to have seen them make that functional. It's just weird.
If they had made, yeah, like, that's a really good point. That if there had been some sort of costume element, like a latex suit or something over it instead of doing because that would have also saved time.
Like, get like a military vest, but like covering each set of pecs.
Yeah,
essentially that would be cool. Like
that would have probably saved some time too, fabricating a costume piece.
Maybe
versus...
that was just their best idea to, you know, feminize her quickly.
Well, that's weak.
I'm not saying it's not.
Like,
I'm just saying.
It's done.
I don't know if that's necessarily. I just think
because
like,
otherwise I see no point in it at all.
Well, I think they're, it's just like basically, hey, we have an understanding of anatomy somewhat that if this is a wolf, then they are going to have multiple. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not just going to be like a wolf faced mask situation of like a person. So it's a clever element, but if they had had more time to mm-hmm. execute it a little bit better, I think that they could have really knocked this one out of
the park.
Yeah, I
think they definitely, you know, for their first one, I think that that was, you know, especially for Twisted Six, because they said that they're like, the other teams, we're not even done.
Even if they made, like, multiple bikinis that were fastened to each other, that would almost be kind of a comical play on how most vigilante, the female, is wearing basically nothing.
That's the one thing I think we'll find interesting about watching these groups is, like, when you work in a group, you tend to come to the center.
Right.
Where, as opposed to where you're an individual, they're all trying to stand out. Like, oh, let me make sure my piece doesn't look like anywhere else. Whereas this one, everyone's like, okay, well, I don't want to step too far outside of the group. I'm hoping that a foreman is, like, at least one encourages that individuality, because that's kind of the fun of the show is when people go, like, they're like, I'm just going to go big. Like, I don't even know what's going to happen. Like, I'm just going to try to go, like, 100%.
Do you think that there's going to be a challenge where, I think we're going to have a few challenges, don't you think? That they would split it and see some individual stuff or nah? What do you think?
I mean, they said teams and it's divide and conquer. They might have you work in groups, like, you know, your shop has, like, a bunch of orders and you need to do them.
Mm.
You guys are breaking it down to make it more palatable or easier. So maybe, I hope so. I love the group challenges. I love the individual, I hope we get individual challenges too, where it's like, you get immunity for this week, like...
See, that I would love to see.
1 hour, like, quick makeups where you're like, that's so creative.
I would even like to see a bottom from each group and then them have to create something on their own.
Oh, elimination
like face-off. Yeah. Face-off.
I like that.
I would love that. You know what I mean?
That would be really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like a battle of makeup to the death.
Bring out a fresh face model for each of them and be like, all right, go.
Yep.
Yeah.
20 minutes.
Now you have to create the fourth character that goes with this that's at the beginning of their transitional phase that's turning into a werewolf.
Yeah.
Make it and we will judge you individually.
Face off for your life. Face off, face off.
You know what they should have done with the tall guy that the chess piece wouldn't work?
What?
They should have made it look like all his hair had been burned off.
Oh, genius!
That would have been clever. Well, then they would have had to do bird makeup, though, which
would have
been
time.
That could have taken a little bit of time.
Although, if they hadn't spent so much time like doing the re-sculpting and trying to get it perfect, you know what I mean? Because like, if no one was gonna step in there and help her and make it like much better, they should have been like, "What can we do with this?"
That's the only thing that I'm kind of nervous about is since the teams are set, I feel like Ethereal already has some leaders that are stepping up. They have several. And I feel like Twisted Six almost is like...
It feels novice-y.
It feels like it's a bunch of people who are very polite with each other.
Yeah,
that
I agree.
Is, I think, a very good thing when you're working in a shop. But I think you need a few big personalities to kind of wrangle and push people in the right direction.
Yeah.
So I hope that we're going to see that too. And that maybe we're going to see some people step out of their comfort zone and kind of be forced to do that, even though...
I mean, if we don't, it could end up being 6-2 as far as these groups go. I mean, I think Twisted Six could easily... They could just start picking them off.
And it's kind of sad that Twisted Six immediately became 5. Like,
why
there
did
was
no... Why did no one think of this? Oh, no!
Like, Twisted Six
was like...
Why
did you do
like,
this to me?
It was almost
that.
Like they jinxed themselves by
I
being like,
week...
we're the Twisted Six!
Are they going to change it every week? Twisted Four.
But then if you're the last one, then you're just like, I'm twisted. And they're like, just sit down.
Stop what you're doing. Yeah, definitely. Well, I think Twisted Six is going to hopefully be a better team, I think. When you have a lot of like play people, they work pretty efficiently together. They just need someone, as you said, like pushing them in the right direction.
But who would that be? I know it's only the first episode, but let's just all... pull out our face off balls.
I kind of wish that Nick would have stepped up and been the foreman for this one, because I wish he would have said, look, I worked for Teen Wolf. I know werewolves. I wish that people, like, because I feel like we saw Fianna be like, hey, this is what I want to do. This is what let's work on this together in Ethereal. Whereas I think that's what Twisted Six is missing. And it could just be because it is episode one. They're just meeting each other for the first time. But I would really like them to say, look, here are my talents. Here's what I have to bring to the table, because if we had seen Nick's talking head interview with everyone, mm-hmm. where he's like, here's my backstory. I've been loving movies and makeup since I was 8. I started working on Teen Wolf. I know werewolves. Put me in charge of this one.
He seemed, besides Laura, he seemed the most fearful in the group to me. Yeah, he just maybe. Didn't have that.
I think he was just excited, which I like.
Well, excitem comes off. You can be excited and just kind of be more like a spaz and happy to be here. He went from, oh my God, this is great, to, oh my God, I think I'm getting kicked off. Like, it was instant.
And I just don't. Well, that's just been editing. In the heat of competition, too. Like,
right, but it's still entertainment industry, and you got to put on that front. And you've got, especially in a cutthroat competition, you can't show weakness.
The face-off isn't really a cutthroat competition.
You
got to
treat it as
why...
one, though, right? Don't you think?
I don't know.
I guess I'm just competitive.
Part of what the show is that, like, these artists are ultimately, they want to win, but you have to work in this industry afterwards, and it's a small group, so.
I bet... we're going to see some messiness that's going to lead back to exactly like...
Hopefully within reason. Because like hopefully just because like I'm passionate and I want to do well.
Right.
And I feel like you're doing it so that we're not going to do it well. I hope it's like that kind of messy. Like I like people throwing drinks in each other's faces.
It's no,
like
we're not. Right. I don't think we're ever going to see that. We're never going to see that on the show.
But I think, like what you said earlier, I think Twisted Six is going to be that group that's kind of like, well, you know, I don't think I like what you're doing.
I almost wonder though if Ethereal is going to have a too many cooks situation.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't think so.
I feel like at first Ethereal is going to get a lead. It's going to be like, oh my gosh, these guys are great. Mm-hmm. But the closer Twisted Six get, as they start working as a unit and like loving each other's ideas, like I feel like mid-season we get that evened out, and then by that time you've got the cream rise to the top, so then it's
and
just
then
like the best
be
of the best
game.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll see. I see it going.
I think you may have just predicted the season episode.
You did.
Jonah, coming on through. Win already.
I'm still predicting Twisted 2.
What do you guys think? I know this is super early on, but right out the gate, do you guys have any favorites for the tough spot? Do you think you know anybody?
Who's Ethereal's leader?
Ethereal was Andrew.
I liked Andrew.
Andrew was efficient. Andrew knew what he wanted, which I feel like a lot of times in this competition, that's the most important thing. Mm-hmm. Just because everyone has the skills to like execute. It always comes down to the middle. I don't know. I feel weird about it. Maybe this, maybe that. And that, like, hesitation slows them down, stops mm-hmm. them up. And sometimes it'll breed, like, really great things. But sometimes that just is it when they don't have that really good idea. He knew what he wanted exactly. And he could tell everyone how to do it. Come on. Like, that guy's got to at least be top three.
Yeah. I agree. I'm thinking Andrew's definitely going to be a finalist. Yeah. I'm thinking probably Kirsten, too, is going to be
like
there
Kirsten.
With
mm-hmm. I like Joseph.
Oh, yeah.
I like Joseph too.
Mm-hmm. Everybody on this season just mm-hmm. seems really cool. I was really sad to see Laura go. She seemed really nice.
She has the best haircut
really cool.
And the dye job was.
I know, right? She just looks so cool.
She's like just a super
and
cutie.
And super sweet.
Like, I hope Laura comes back for like a reunion. I like when they're like, I was voted out first, but I got my skill level up and I'm competitive. And you're like, oh my God. Like, how would you get improved in a year? It's inspirational.
Or I should have her come in and be like, I made you guys this bomb ass cake.
Right.
Also,
oh my
like
God,
that
would be great. I was kind of hoping when they said, you know, cake. Who's eliminated, they would say no one because it's the first week.
I know.
That's what I was hoping for. Then I was like,
I did hold a little hope in my heart for that, too. I was like, maybe no one goes home because we all tried really hard this
week.
Right?
It's the first
week. I thought
it
was soon. They were just like, nope. Shattered your dreams immediately.
I mean, they didn't say sorry to see you go so soon, which I thought was nice to be like,
she was really, really sweet when she was leaving, too. And I was kind of sad when she was like, I swung for the fences and I missed. I was like,
you
did good, girl. You did good.
You hung in there. You tried it.
And I bet you good things are coming.
If she had hung
her.
On, if she had stayed a little longer, I think we would have seen some really cool
had
stuff.
Had she had
Laura.
Good guidance, she probably still would have been on the show. But yeah, I'm not judging.
Well, I cannot wait to see what else we have in store this season. And in the meantime, where can we find more from you guys for next week?
Hey guys, I'm Joel Monique. You can find me all over the internet at Joel Monique every week at blackgirlnerds.com and every Wednesday at Schmoes Know. If you head over to the Spotify channel for Black Girl Nerds right now, you can check out all the queer writers coming out stories in playlist form. So if you want to see me coming out in 45 Neo Soul songs, you can do that now at the Spotify list for Black Girl Nerds.
I'm far less interesting. I'm Jackie Ray. You can follow me everywhere at Jerry the Fanatic. You can hear me every single Wednesday on our Game On Sports podcast at jerrythefanatic.com, and follow me anywhere else, maybe Black Sports Online.
And I'm Elena Jordan. You can find me on Twitter at Elena Jordan and on Instagram at That Elena Jordan Girl. And if you're in Vegas this weekend, I will be at the amazing Las Vegas Comic Con doing some panels. So check the panel schedule. Come see me. And we'll see you guys next week. Bye.
Bye.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz later!
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.